All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Boca Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Holritz, and it's good to see you. It's good to hear you. It's good to have you here. It's been a little bit. We've been super busy behind the scenes working on a variety of things, and we haven't done as many episodes as of late. We had recorded a number of them, and we're consistently putting them out 1 to 2 a week, but we hadn't actually recorded a live session in a little bit. So it's actually fun to be back, and I'm excited actually to introduce you to a brand new guest here in just a second. The Boca Podcast is produced by Photographers Edit. Busy season's coming up. Make sure that you're signed up at Photographers Edit for custom editing that matches your style so that you don't have to be stuck behind the computer during the upcoming busy season. All right. Without further ado, I want to introduce a brand new guest. Olivia Smith is here with me. Olivia, thank you so much for coming to hang out. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, and I have to, again, give you a shout out. I love the combination of color of your hair and the outfit. Like, you even color coordinated there today, which is pretty impressive. Is that like the norm for you?
I just dyed it last night.
Did you? Oh, it's super fun. And for those of you that are not watching the live stream, you're going to have to go back and check it out. You can go to youtube.com or facebook.com/Boca Podcast. Olivia, we didn't have the chance to kind of get to catch up before we got started today. So this is going to be kind of a joint effort, not only on my part, but of our listeners and viewers as well, to kind of get to know you a little bit better. So let's just kind of jump right in. I've got a few rapid fire questions for you here at the beginning. We're going to, and we'll come back to your actual photography business here in just a second, but from your experience as a photographer, tell me what the most important principle has been behind providing a really great customer experience for your clients.
Customization and being able to get to know my clients and give them exactly what they want and just listening to them. I have like a whole really long questionnaire that I ask them. I like Pinterest boards and a mood board. I can get to know like exactly what people like. If they give me 5-10 images of like the vision, then I can like, oh, she really wants that. We're going to definitely get that. And she likes this mood. So being able to bring their visions to life is like next, you know, second to none.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I hear customization, getting to know them. And I know a lot of photographers, well, they approach it in different ways, right? That there may be phone conversations, there may be a questionnaire via email or some form that's sent out to them. Maybe they meet for coffee. What does that process actually look like for you?
We do a phone call, so I kind of go over the whole process, dig deep into their why of like, why are they doing this now? And, you know, what have they been through and what they want to get out of it, how they want to feel after a shoot. And then, you know, the questionnaire, so I can dig deeper, like just ask them lots of questions. And then on the day of the shoot, we're just talking and they're getting their hair and makeup done and I am cleaning and my makeup artist is like, Olivia, stop talking to them. I'm doing their lips. and we're just laughing.
Fair enough. So. I like the environment that you're describing already. And then we should go ahead and give context to our listeners too. I was popping up your website on the screen here for anybody who's live streaming. By the way, thanks to those of you that are live streaming. Don't hesitate to say hello, ask questions along the way. Sue already chimed in from Sun Valley. She says, hello. Thanks, Sue, for joining us again. It's good to see you. And again, for those of you that are live streaming, don't be shy. Ask questions, comment along the way. But Olivia, back to your actual business. We don't tend to do kind of like formal introductions, bios of our guests here at the show. I like to kind of break the monotonous tendency that most podcasts and more shows do. But we have to at least mention your business here. Go ahead and introduce that just briefly, if you will.
I am a boudoir photographer in Minnesota. I kind of mix it with a little bit of portraiture and a little bit of boudoir to be a little different than most boudoir photographers. Most of my pictures have faces in them.
Well, and I've, as you're talking here, I pulled up your website and I just want to make sure I get this right. Is it Belle Marie or BellaMarieBoudoir.com?
Belle Marie Boudoir. Perfect. My husband calls me Belle. My middle name's Marie. Olivia was taken.
Love it though. That's great. Okay. And so for those of you listening in, make sure to go to Belle, B-E-L-L-E, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Boudoir.com. And it's actually the same thing on Instagram. In fact, we'll pull that up here just really quick for those of you that are live streaming with us. But Belle Marie Boudoir on Instagram as well. We'll link to both of these in the show notes at bocapodcast.com. Let's keep going in this conversation, though, because we got a lot to get into. Talk to me a little bit about, we've talked about customer service experience, but let's talk a little bit about time management. One of the things that, I mean, certainly I'm in business, or the reasons that I'm in business for myself, is just to have some flexibility, to be my own boss, right? To manage my time the way that I want to at the end of the day. Is there an idea or a principle that's enabled you to be able to run what has turned into a highly successful business for you, but also still have a life at the same time?
Definitely. I'm all about that. Being able to spend time with my kids when I want to. I can, now that I have the systems in place and the automations in place, I can take 3 shoots a week now and not be bombarded and under the weight of all the things I need to do. My biggest thing that I got rid of a few years ago was editing. I will never take it back. I have an editor that does it way better than I can do it, because that's what he does every day, all day. Mm-hmm. And he's just amazing. So my biggest thing is outsourcing. Also, you know, batch editing your social media content. I have I created a year's worth of posts in about 4 hours. And so I just need to, it's all in my Excel spreadsheet, so I can just copy, paste. Same with my Facebook group, copy, paste. Everything's done. And I just need to interact with people and nurture them and talk to people about booking me.
Okay. Did you say a year's worth of posts in about 4 hours?
Yeah, maybe 5.
Okay. Tell me 10 and I'd still be impressed. All right. Let's park here for just a second, because thinking about time management, I mean, social media is one of the biggest time sucks when it comes to running a business these days. Yeah. How do you go about creating that many posts in such a short amount of time?
Well, I'm always watching other people talk and like TikToks about business and reading business books. So I actually got this one from Rachel Pederson. She's amazing. And so she has this content plan that I've implemented, and it's like 12 different topics that I talk about. And I just go to Facebook and like, you know, type questions and open up lots of tabs, more. And then I save the questions that people actually want. So they're searching these things on Google, like, outfits do I wear? Should I wear for curvy? Or what nail polish should I use? So I have all these different topics, and I have searched all these, and then I save them all in my Excel, and then I'm answering them. Some of them, you know, I'll go to ChatGPT, and like, so I love AI, and I think it's a great tool for making things faster, you know, honing our creative genius and where we're good at. Like, I can type something out about photography in ChatGPT and can give me something. I'm like, no, that's totally wrong. And I can fix it and change it. Or I can say, no, do it like this, and just reword what I'm writing, and it kind of rewords it. So I kind of take the questions into there, make sure they're exactly how I want them to be. It just does it really fast. But it's all kind of still coming from my brain and things that I would write anyways.
Yeah.
So then I put that in my Excel spreadsheet, and I have, you know, just a bunch of posts. Also, my reviews, you know, I turned 45 reviews into like 80 posts. That's a great way to, you know, get your testimonials on your Facebook and your Instagram and everything.
Okay. So first of all, we have to give a shout out to Rachel, and maybe we can find her information and put it in the show notes as well. You said Rachel Pederson, is that right?
Pederson. She's actually in Minnesota, right next to me. She's called the social media queen.
Okay. So we'll find her information and link to that, because I mean, you certainly have my interest piqued here, and Jill, who produces our show, is probably listening in, is also kind of curious. And for those of you listening in, I'm sure you're going to be like, wait a minute, and a year's worth of posts in 4 or 5 hours. That's really impressive. What I love are a couple of things that you mentioned. Number one, it seems like your focus when it comes to creating this content, it's not just like, here's a pretty picture. It's about value-added content, right?
Exactly. It's a lot of value. It's things they're actually wanting to hear, they're curious about for their session. And, you know, I do add things like, oh, you go, girl, you're amazing type posts, or, you know, booty posts. But, you know, it's mostly value posts that I'm giving to them to prep them for the shoot or get them excited for the shoot or just answer questions that, you know, they're wanting to know.
That's really interesting. Okay. We could probably create a whole separate podcast episode just on this topic. So I'm going to leave that where it's at right now. But I find this really interesting. The other thing that you mentioned was ChatGPT. And there was something I heard recently from Gary Vaynerchuk, who I follow pretty actively. Do you follow Gary at all?
I don't. I know him. I know of him.
Yeah. Like, well, no, it's totally fine. I just didn't know if you had the context of some of the stuff that he says, but he's certainly been addressing this conversation around ChatGPT. And of course, there are a lot of apprehensions and concerns and questions that people have, myself included, around the technology. I've certainly used it myself and have seen at least some of the potential. And I know I haven't tapped into the full potential of ChatGPT, but Gary was talking about how this tool is particularly powerful for people that are kind of creative or that have ideas to begin with. It's otherwise, it's just going to sit there and it'll be a glorified Google for people. But if somebody has the creative, mentality necessary to be able to leverage that tool, if they know the right questions to ask, you can tap into ChatGPT for knowledge. You can tap into ChatGPT for quick copywriting. And I've seen, the grammar that I see from ChatGPT is better than probably most photographers. So we should
type what I want and then I'll put it in ChatGPT to make it more HR or like nice or like prettier.
Yeah.
And it's like, it takes my rawness because I'm pretty blunt and raw. And my husband's like, you shouldn't say that. And I'm like, I'll just put it in there. And it makes it a little bit more... pretty.
It refines it. Yeah. But going back to that idea that Gary was talking about, I think it's very interesting to think about ourselves as kind of the creative input to ChatGPT. ChatGPT can be used as a very practical tool, and we should utilize it to save time on multiple levels. But it's not as valuable if we don't have the creative ideas to begin with. So what's cool about using a tool like that is it enables us to focus on the creative side of running the business, to come up with the ideas, and then we can use a tool like ChatGPT to enable us to accomplish those ideas at the end. And it's only a piece of the puzzle, but I think it is an interesting one. Yeah. Certainly one that I want to continue to play with more. And I love that you're kind of setting that example for all of us. Yeah. Again, this is a loaded topic and maybe we can come back to it at another point, but I want to keep going, shift gears again. The most impactful self-help book or business book that you've read over time, what comes to mind?
I would have to say my top one would be She Sells by Megan Napiro. I love Megan, and it's a good bounding off reset of the brain book. Like, if you're wanting to get into selling bigger packages, offering better customer service, servicing your clients, so in the best possible way, it helps your mind accept that and like, oh, I can charge this much because I'm worth this because I'm doing this for my clients. And she's has so many great things in her book. And it's like a few hour like audiobook, and she does the audiobook, and just love listening to her voice and her talk.
Well, that's cool. With the audiobook, it's so convenient. And I've kind of gone back and forth with this because if I spend a decent amount of time in the car, even if it's just going across town to go to the gym or going to grab groceries or, whatever it might be. And there's opportunity to get 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day of audiobook time if I do that. Yeah. The only question I have for you about that, though, because this is where I kind of struggle between that and using either a Kindle book or a physical book. Are you able to retain enough of what you're getting from audio? Like you're driving, obviously. Well, not obviously, but you may be driving or doing something else while you're listening to
dishes
it.
Dishes.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't necessarily easily take notes as you're writing down. How do you retain what you're listening to in an audiobook?
Oh, that's a hard one because, your brain latches onto core aspects, but I feel like you do have to kind of go back and listen to it or take notes. But like if you're doing things, I just try to absorb what I can and implement what I can as fast as I can. Like if she says something really good or Grant Cardone, his main topic is 10x your life and do it. And you have to have, if you want big, you got to go big. And there's the core things, but there are little nuggets that I think our brains will forget. And writing them down, the really good ones, and you think, oh yeah, I got to remember that. It's probably a good thing to do.
Well, but you actually made a really interesting point. I'm not quite sure that I've heard any of our guests say this yet regarding books, and that is the importance of implementing right away. Because it's easy, and we have talked about this on the podcast before, but it's easy, it's so easy to take in content. I still strive to find somewhat of a healthy balance in this regard, particularly when it comes to reading content related to my business, right? Like we can take in endless amounts of content because it's widely and freely available, But then the question is, what are we doing with that? Like when somebody says, I read 100 books a year, 50 books a year. Okay, that sounds cool. But what are you actually doing with that information? Is your business or your life that much better because you're taking in that much content? The key is actually taking what we're reading or listening to seriously enough that we actually go do something with it. Yeah. And so that idea of hearing something, being like, oh, wait, that's relevant to what it is that I'm working on. So I'm now going to go implement that right away. It's as simple as that, an idea as that might seem. I think it's actually really significant in this case.
Like the Rachel Peterson, like doing the content. I'm doing this right now. I wrote everything down and then I wrote it down as notes. And then, you know, a few days later when I had time, like I'm writing out all those posts. I'm like, I'm doing this. It needs to get done. And like, I'm just I attack things full force. And that's kind of how I ran my business when I started Boudoir. You know, like I was able to build it up so fast because I pretty much attack it with, you know, all everything I have.
You're just all in. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. Well, again, I appreciate kind of the thought process there. And I think it's a good one that we should all consider as business owners. Because certainly there's plenty of opportunity for us to continue to get better. But if we are going to make the effort to take in that content, we need to actually take it seriously enough to do something with it. There's too many times that photographers go to a conference, a workshop, they listen to a book or they read it or they watch a YouTube video or listen to a podcast. And they're like, they either kind of passively listen or almost subconsciously listen, right? And then they're like, oh, that's nice. But then they don't actually go do anything about it. And I hope, at least for our listeners and our community, that what we're presenting to you, you'll keep in mind that actually applying this stuff is where you're going to see the results. Yes. So it's just, it's actually a very significant reminder that you bring to us. And I appreciate that. Larry chimed in from YouTube. He says, I'm late as always. Larry, no worries whatsoever. We're glad to have you here. And it actually perfect timing because we're getting ready to transition into the main focus for today, which is to talk about how to build our photography business using Facebook groups. And this is an interesting one for me because, to be honest with you, Olivia, I haven't had the best experience with this, but I also know that I lacked two things. One, I lacked, I think, enough perspective as to know how to go about doing that. We built our business in other ways, but I lacked the perspective as to how to best run a Facebook group. And then I know I just didn't put enough time or effort into it as well. So it's going to be really nice to actually get your perspective knowing that you're actively doing this today. What was kind of the aha moment for you that made you think, you know what, I need to leverage Facebook groups to actually build my business?
Like I said before, I kind of attack everything at full vigor. And so it was just another thing on the totem pole that I needed to check off. Because I think of it as a big pie. And, you know, I think of organic as part of the pie. Facebook ads are part of the pie. You know, everything is just a different way to get a client. So I'm like, and lots of boudoir photographers already do groups. So I'm like, oh, I need to get on this because the more places that I'm being seen are the more people that are going to reach out and book me if they see me. So I'm always kind of like, the most I can get out there is the best.
Again, you bring up an interesting point, though, and I want to ask you about this. You said this is a piece of the pie. First of all, what percentage of the so-called marketing pie would you say that Facebook groups is for you?
I'd probably say like maybe 30 to 40%.
Okay.
I'd say maybe about that. I have like my three main things is like organic website. Well, there's organic Instagram, then there's organic website, then there's paid ads. You could do Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we could do Google and Facebook ads. And then there's like the organically through the Facebook groups. There's kind of like five or six, I'd say.
Got it.
So about 30, 40% of clients are coming to me from my group, I'd say.
Well, and why I highlight that and why I think it's poignant is that we have to keep in mind in a kind of headline-driven culture, including, by the way, our podcast. Obviously, I'm going to create a headline that is focused on the particular topic at hand, but we also have to remember that it's kind of a both and scenario almost all the time, right? It is a piece of the marketing puzzle, but 30 to 40% is a pretty significant amount. So this conversation holds quite a bit of weight. When it comes to Facebook groups, one of the things, I guess, kind of the apprehensions on my part, not just for our potential clients or clients, but for me as well, is like, it's one more thing that we got to do. Right. And managing multiple brands and having a team I'm so overwhelmed in many cases because I have so many different moving parts that I could have to juggle. And I know photographers, even sole proprietors who are just focused on their business, they're running it. can easily feel overwhelmed with all the different moving pieces. So this is a bit rhetorical because I know it's working for you, but do our clients or potential clients really have time for yet another place to go online? Like they're already paying attention to, like you said, a website, to ads, organic social. Now we're going to create a Facebook group and we expect them amidst their daily, you know, their busy lives to also spend time in a Facebook group. Do they really have time for one more thing?
I think, yeah, because Facebook groups are organic, but they are community driven and it's something that you have control of. Yeah, Facebook could ban you at any time because they don't care. But if you're not and you're good, it's a great group of community because I have 1,500 ladies in my group now and they are supporting each other and I'm top of mind and I've just like my Facebook and my Instagram posts, I've batched those, you know, I do like 50% of business posts. So like behind the scenes or testimonials from clients, videos of them just, you know, talking about my business and why they're there. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't want them to go away because I post too much about my business. I'm like, that's why they're there. It's for your business. Okay. And if they want to join your Facebook group for boudoir photography, then they know what it's about. So I about 50% of that. And then I say about 10% of sales. Like if I have a sale going on or I have an open date that needs to be filled, I'll say, hey guys, I have this going on. Or if I have mini shoots, but you don't want to overwhelm people with sales. And then about 40%, I'd say with like questions, like people love questions and they'll answer them of, you know, would you rather live in this house at the beach or this house in the mountains? Yeah, I do a little bit of that, but it's mostly still related to boudoir photography, self-care, self-love, and giving time for yourself as a woman. Like, would you rather, you know, have perfect skin or perfect hair? Things like that. Would you rather have this outfit or that outfit? It still gets them thinking about, you know, boudoir and thinking about themselves and doing that thing that they probably don't do a lot for themselves. So these questions get them interacting. They also post their own testimonials, which I give them extra bonuses from their shoot. I'm like, if you post your videos or your pictures or a testimonial from your shoot, then you'll get extra from me. And those always get the most interactions because this group of women are like hopping on and supporting each other saying, oh my God, you look amazing. And it's like, it pushes them to book their own shoot as well. So it's great for the client because they're getting that additional boost of confidence to a secure group of women they can post these pictures to. They can't put it up on the regular Facebook. And then those women also see it and maybe book with me. So it's a win-win.
So it sounds like there's a lot of value there for their time spent. Like it's not just one more thing to do, quote unquote. It's actually bringing value to their lives, the thought processes that ultimately lead to what would be a really great experience with a boudoir session. So, okay, that makes sense. And I have at least one more question there, but I'm just going to let our conversation kind of drive the answers. So let me jump to the next question. First of all, when it comes to creating a Facebook group, and for photographers listening, of course, this doesn't have to be boudoir photographers only. This is for photographers in general. So how can photographers, first of all, create a Facebook group with their potential clients? You mentioned to me beforehand, you have kind of three ideas that drive this. What are those?
So I'm in a lot of moms groups. I'm in a lot of, you know, entrepreneur women's groups. So these are great places I find a lot of clients organically. So I'm in them and I just find out the rules. And so they have you can post on Wednesdays on this comment thread. So I'll write that down in my Excel spreadsheet and all these different places I can post on certain days. Some of them don't have rules. So I like do once a week, or once a month. And I just post on their discussion thread. And in my guide, I have all the things I do post too. It's like a breakdown of a shoot with me, kind of a hyping up saying, oh, I have this many outfits and I shoot all, you know, different sizes of women and I have a studio with a team and a link to my group. So it gives them a little rundown of what I'm about, what this group's about, and it like links them to the group. So I get a lot of local ladies coming to my group because of those posts and booking me because of those posts.
So it starts with then looking for opportunities in other Facebook groups to, as you said, within the structure of the rules that those groups have, to invite people or at least make them aware of your Facebook group.
Yes.
In those groups. Okay, so that's number one. Take us to number two.
Or also, I'll use my content, like my, I have lots of blog posts that help women prepare for a photo shoot. And I'll use those to post in the other groups to create content and more education for them. Say, hey, I have this post you might want to see for your bridal boudoir. I'll push that in a bridal wedding group. And I'll say, oh, come join my group. So it's offering, you know, education for them and a resource for them to, and then they join my group. Also, you can utilize your members to invite friends to the group, or have an invite like giveaway prize that gets members in the group, or my giveaway. So I did a giveaway a few weeks ago and I got 200 members from that. And I booked about 21 sessions and about 400 ladies entered the giveaway. So those are always good group growers.
Okay. So first of all, the numbers that you're talking about are pretty staggering. 1500 is impressive enough as it is with that Facebook group, but the idea that you would get 200 additional members through a giveaway, is that's a big deal. How many, like what was the giveaway? What was the structure of the giveaway that enabled that?
So it's I go through all over this. It's kind of a different, it's like a funnel, and they enter the information and then they have to join the group if they want to win. It's like a full session. So the full hair and makeup and the day and their album with their 20 digitals, they can add more if they want to. And then, you know, it goes, it's like a 2-week giveaway. So they pretty much have to join the group to get it. So that's, I'd say about half of them didn't, but you know, still 200 ladies that did join it is still awesome.
That's awesome.
And 21 world, booked is.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. Please continue.
No, you're good. What were you saying?
I was going to say, in a world where like we're so used to big number highlights, you know, in social media, like I have 3 million followers. I made this, you know, millions this year. The idea that you were able to invite 200 warm or even hot leads into a Facebook group with the opportunity to be able to convert them to paying clients, that is a really, really big number. And we can't forget at the end of the day that it's not about massive numbers. If we are intelligent and intentional with the numbers that we do have access to, we can make big inroads to building a really successful business. So that's great. All right. So steps then to ultimately inviting potential clients into a group. One is to invite people from other groups through value-added content. Again, highlighting that for those photographers listening, and make sure you actually follow the rules of those groups, but through value-added content, inviting people from other groups. Number two is to have members invite their own friends. And then number three is through giveaways, and more specifically through, again, an intentional giveaway. If you just say, hey, we're just giving this thing away, there's not enough structure to that to encourage the kind of engagement and ultimately conversion that you're talking about. You said that you've actually created a funnel and that they have to follow these steps in order to actually then have the possibility of winning that giveaway. Yeah. So that's really important to note.
I have a whole automation of everything. You know, they get multiple emails, and then after the giveaway, they get more emails to, you know, it's all about the email list.
And what system are you using for that automation, if you don't mind sharing?
So you can, it's Go High Level. I use 360 Elite.
Okay.
It's like a whole, you know, you can have a course through there. You can have funnels. You can have, it does text messaging. It's also how I do emails and sending emails out to everyone, scheduling. It kind of does everything. There's also Meet Nikki. They also have their own platform. It's the same kind of software. I like Elite 360 is my favorite. They have a whole back end of training just for their software.
Wow. Okay. Well, for everybody listening in, take notes, make sure that you go check out these resources, because it sounds really powerful. One quick question. And I realize, again, this could be a whole podcast episode or two or three, but for photographers listening in who are like, that sounds good, but the idea now that I have to go learn some additional software and set up this whole workflow just seems overwhelming to me. I'm not super structured, organized. I'm a photographer. How would you respond to them, having had such a good experience creating this type of a workflow?
I really like the workflow and the fact that it can set up like these different pages and walk clients through it to warm them up even more to book that shoot. Like most of these 21 people I booked without talking to them, and I didn't even have to get them on the phone. They just booked and it was great. But if you don't want to learn this whole software and spend more money on more softwares monthly, I can totally understand that. And you can do it through just emailing. You just have your set emails that you go out, you know, every day, you know, for your giveaway, and just pushing them to book that, you know, session. And you can create like I also have Dubsado, which has proposals. You can send them to that. So there's so many different ways you can do this that where you are in your current software that you're already using. So it's not something like that's totally necessary. I like the ease of it because sure. of everything else that I needed also in that software. But like just photographers, you know, you might just do the email route with your CRM that you already have.
Okay, makes sense. And by the way, for anybody listening in, and Olivia, tell me if I pulled up the wrong site, but elite360.io, yep. Is that correct?
That is.
Perfect. Work less, make more, and save a ton of money. That sounds...
Yeah, they pretty much like, you know, like ClickFunnels, I think they're the same amount as ClickFunnels, except you get a lot of other stuff.
Got it. Okay, cool. All right. Well, again, we're going to continue because I know that we've got a lot to cover here. Once the group has been created, what are a few steps that photographers utilizing those Facebook groups need to take to bring in new members? And I know that you've kind of alluded to some of these ideas probably already, but you mentioned that you had kind of three bigger ideas here to focus on. What are those?
So bigger ideas is the being the questions that I ask, and the people that coming into the group have to answer these questions. They don't have to like, so number one is getting their email. You want them on your email list. That's what you own. And if everything goes down, the only thing you're going to have is email. So I get that email from them and I send them my 12-page session prep guide, which I'm giving you guys. So you just have to go to my website to get it. I have seniors, high school seniors created and boudoir created. So it's all about a session with me to get them hyped, to get them excited to work with me. It doesn't give them too much because I want them to contact me to, you know, get to know me more, get to know the pricing. And it also includes tips where I like to shop, session tips to what to do for their session. So it's a really awesome guide to get them to give you their email. Then they go into like a drip, which I have like 7 months worth of emails that are going out to them. You know, top of mind is the one that gets booked. So I'm always top of mind. And so then the second question is, can I contact you? Are you curious about a session with me? And if they say no, then I don't contact them. If they say yes, then I contact them. I say, hey, thanks for joining the group. Do you have any questions about doing boudoir, or like, have you ever done a boudoir before? And then I just start a conversation right in the messenger, and I'll either book them right there or I'll get them on a phone call and then I'll book them, you know. So, you know, it's not always a booking, but you know, I'll get to talk to them on the phone and they'll realize like, oh, you're out of my price range, or oh, I want to do this, and let's just, you know, book right now. I've had many clients just book just joining my group and getting on a call with me and then scheduling out. What was the other thing? I think that's it.
Okay. So I was taking a bunch of notes as you were talking here too. So really it sounds like it centers all around the questions that you're asking them up front. Are you doing that through a form on Facebook, or how are you asking those questions?
You can enable questions when you create your Facebook group.
Okay.
So, you know, they let you have three questions. My first one is, are you ready to be, to join the awesome boudoir group? And then the second one is, give me your email to get this awesome PDF guide. Third one's, would you like to hear more about a boudoir shoot for yourself? And you just set those up. There are softwares that you can like take that info and it automatically puts them onto your email list, but I don't want to pay for that. So I just have them, you know, build up, and then I copy and paste into my email subscriber, and it starts that process for them, and then they get the guide.
Okay, so we're really kind of talking about, I mean, the questions overall is kind of the big idea, asking those introductory questions, but we're talking about two key questions here. One is for their email address, so request their email address and the opportunity to be able to communicate with them. You said 7 months worth of an email campaign that gets sent out as a result? That's pretty impressive. How long did it take you to design that?
you know, each one is a few hours, but you have to just think of the questions you want to ask. You have to, you know, I like testimonials. I create videos of clients. So I'm sending them blog posts. I'm sending them testimonials. I'm sending them more content, you know, like, oh, you want a book? If they do sign up for the, my welcome thing and you get my, my guide, you're also gonna get my favorite email, which is my one that turns over the most. It's my biggest turning over email that gets people like stopping and looking at it and calling me. So you're going to want that.
Okay. So three steps then to getting people to join the group. One is to make sure that you're actually asking the introductory questions. Number two is to make sure to grab their email. That's one of the questions in that list, so that you can put them in that email sequence in the drip campaign. And then number three is to, and I like this actually, requests or ask them if you can contact with them. And yep. The people that are saying yes, naturally that means at that point, really not even just a warm lead, but a hot lead. Yes. But you're getting their permission, which already puts them in the right mindset, frame of mind to be converted to a paying client, which I think is a really significant step that you're taking there. Okay, that's cool. So again, I want to keep moving here because we still have a bit to cover. I know that Facebook Messenger, using the API for, to use a nerd term, a tech term here, for Facebook Messenger plugged into various applications is actually a really, really powerful tool. You can use it for customer support and in your case, even potentially for sales. So in this case, you actually book clients from your new Facebook group members directly through Facebook Messenger. And this is, it piques my interest again. I'm curious how you go about this process. Will you share?
It's less automated. You know, I wish it was less more automated, I guess, because I like to automate everything. But, you know, it's just me just starting a conversation up saying, you know, have you done a boudoir shoot? And then kind of a few down the road and saying, then usually they want to know more information. That's why they let me message them. That's why they're in the group. So they want to know about pricing. And I'm like, okay, we can definitely do that. Let's stop on a call. You know, this is a very personalized experience. I'm a personalized photographer. I prefer, you know, this to, you know, be very personalized to you. Make sure we're a right fit and go over the process. It's a lot. A 10-15 minute call is way easier than me typing it all out because I don't have this all in automation. I don't have a copy paste. So me telling them that this is so much easier than me calling, typing everything out for them to know is kind of like the, oh, okay, I guess I'll do a phone call. You know, if you don't tell her, you don't tell your client, oh, I'll send you this guide. I'll send you my pricing magazine. Or if you say, if you type it all out for them, everyone wants to know pricing, but you'd really have to get them on the phone to kind of sell them on it and sell them on you and sell them why they need this.
Yeah. So the communication through Messenger, you're not talking about an automated system. You're talking about individual conversations, chatting with them.
Yep.
Is that what you go to first after that person joins the group? You got their email address. I'm assuming you're also adding them to the drip campaign or the email campaign, but are you also then simultaneously going to Facebook Messenger and reaching out to them at that point? How exactly does that workflow look?
Yeah. So they are in the workflow, they're getting their emails. And then at the same time, if they do want me to contact them, I'll just message them right away as soon as they enter the Facebook group.
So and you're it's doing a that double... specifically through Facebook Messenger then at that point, if they said, yes, please contact me. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then from that point, you're setting up a phone call and you're able to do that by convincing them that it's actually valuable that they do so because you can share information more readily through a phone call.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense. I appreciate you outlining all this.
As soon as you give them your pricing, you know, they're like, ooh, never mind. They don't know the value. They don't know that it's why they need this in their life. Mm-hmm. If they just see a number. So, you know, Megan DePiro is all about, you know, get them on the phone. I'm like, yeah, get them on the phone.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, then I guess the last question that I have today, though, has to do with, second to last question. Around email, you've already talked about email a little bit. And I mean, as I think a lot of business owners and certainly photography business owners know at this point, or they're cognizant of the idea that relying too much on a particular social media platform can be problematic because of both the potential changes in that platform, the way that we're able to leverage it. And then also the potential, even if it's a small one, of that platform going away, right? And if we put so much of our eggs in the one basket of a particular platform and it goes away or it changes drastically, now we're stuck in this place where we were so reliant on it and now we can't continue to carry out our marketing efforts in the same way. We need to make sure to diversify. And so to that end, when it comes to email, maintaining an email list, you already described how you're capturing the email. You described a little bit the process of creating that so-called drip campaign. Are you using, by the way, I don't know if you know this, so there's a platform called Drip that is made for email campaigns. Are you using Drip specifically, or are you using what software for that email campaign?
I'm not. So I was using MailerLite. Also, Flowdesk is really pretty, but it's a little bit more expensive. But right now I'm using the Elite 360, and everything kind of goes in there and it drips the email through that. And there's lots more parameters, and like, if they do this, then you do that. So I can get a little bit more tweaky with it and really customized with that bigger, more expensive software. But it's not needed. You can definitely just do this with a regular email list and just send this out 2 weeks after, and then this next one 2 weeks, so.
But beyond what you've already shared about both the collection of the email addresses and then kind of going about creating that email campaign over the span of 7 months, and again highlighting the fact that you're adding value, you're thinking with questions that those clients or potential clients would answer, and answering those proactively through the email campaign. So you're adding value through that. Is there anything else that our listeners should know about creating and maintaining that email list that you think would be important to share?
So like the giveaway that I'm giving you guys, the template, I put it on my website. There's a little banner at the top that says get your free guide. And it has a whole page that, so they can sign up to be on my list, and just getting that in as many places as possible. It's on my website. It's how you get into my group, is get part of that. And just giving them something valuable to get on that list is huge. So
the focus again on value add. You talked about your website too, so I'm just going to pull that up really quick. The giveaway that you're talking about, is that linked at the top there where it says learn how to prepare for a boudoir shoot?
Yeah. So if they do the let's go, then it takes them, and then they sign up for a thing, and that gets them into the email list, and that's what gives them the 12-page guide.
Got it. Okay, cool. And again, for those of you listening in, make sure that you go to bellemarieboudoir.com and you can see exactly.
Slash free.
Okay, perfect. /free. And we'll link to that in the show notes as well at bocapodcast.com. Just to kind of finish up our conversation today, though, I will admit that aside from just not giving Facebook groups enough time in the past, my biggest shortcoming, I think, was just knowing what content to post in the Facebook group specifically that I wasn't already posting on social media, or my team wasn't already posting on social media. We have, again, there's this extra channel. It's like, oh, shoot, now I've got an extra channel. I got to think about what content to create for that that's going to actually be valuable enough to warrant these people coming to yet again another channel. It's still kind of a struggle for me, honestly. And I'm curious just to kind of get your take on like how to go about doing that a bit more creatively, a bit more effectively.
Yeah. So like there's even, my posts to my Instagram are so value driven that I'm like, these need to go to my group too. Like they might not be on my face. They might not be on my Instagram looking at these posts, but they're in my Facebook group, but this post is so much value, like just about, your shoot or how to pose or what nail color you should wear. I'll just put it on my Facebook group as well. I try to give a lot of value to the Facebook group. But the ones that are like, just like, book your session because you're a queen, I just keep for like Facebook and, Instagram. But I do the same thing, and I ask just a bunch of questions and around these self-value and self-care, like, what do I do with this? These questions people are asking, and I just kind of go to ChatGPT and say, give me 20 questions, this or that questions. And I have a bunch of this or that questions. Then I take it to Canva and I have their autofill. And I usually take 2 or 3 or 4 different designs in Canva that I like. And I'll just put it into it, and it creates all of these like 100 posts instantly. Then you just save it. And then you just have all these posts. And I like to like delete every, you know, every other one. So I have a mix of the different designs. So it's not like you're posting the same design every day with each question. So it kind of varies it up. That's a little bit further than I go about it. So it's I have a big long content post of these are what I'm going to be posting in my group to ask them questions, as well as those behind the scenes videos and pictures and testimonials and the other posts, or like if I'm doing a sale in my group. So I literally got those posts done in like an hour, and I have like 5 months of content to post to my group.
I'm so amazed at your efficiency. It's truly impressive. I mean, this is not commonplace for most people, including myself in many cases, but certainly most photographers, because again, photographers, I think large part, I'm generalizing to be clear, but a large portion of the photographers in our industry are kind of more creative in nature versus systems oriented. You obviously have both, you're doing both, which is really, again, quite impressive. But to hear this level of efficiency is just, it's super impressive. Is this like, do you have a background in workflow, or is it just something that you kind of learned over time?
No, I just learned it over time, and I'm like, I don't like doing this. So, you know, and ChatGPT's come around, and it's, you know, I love the, you know, it's made things so much faster for everyone. It's made things faster for me, giving me new ideas of what to do. And it just, and then I've been starting to use Canva because I'm creating for my course, I'm creating all these PDFs and workbooks and so many things for my course. And I'm into ChatGPT now. I'm into Canva now. So like I'm doing all these different things. So I'm like, I need to easily create these posts for my group in Canva, which I can now do that with along with ChatGPT and the things that I know. It makes it really quick. So yeah. I've just trial and error myself have found this system.
Okay. And would you, first of all, I love that you said that you don't like doing this stuff, because some photographers would be like, I don't like doing it. And that's where the conversation ends.
That's why I don't do it.
but you say, I don't like doing this stuff. So I'm going to find the most efficient way to do it. And was that just a process of kind of endless Googling until you found the tools that worked best for you?
Yeah, kind of that. And just seeing other people.
Oh. I think we lost Olivia. All right. Well, we're going to hold on here and see if maybe she logs back in. Apologies for the technical issues. She's chiming back in. There we go. Give me 1 second. We'll bring her back in here. You're back.
But I don't know what happened there.
Okay. Yeah, you just disappeared. We waited for you, though. Thanks for coming back with us. Okay. So the question was about how you went about finding these resources and deciding the workflow. You did some research, and then you started to say you were listening to others as well and how they're approaching it.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm always watching like TikTok business videos. Like that's how I found, you know, I just find little nuggets here and there along the way, and then I implement it. Like, that's amazing. I'm going to do that right now. And so it's just kind of over the process of, you know, over time, just building this up as I learn about it. And as I like, you know, other people are like kind of doing similar things. I'm like, I could definitely do that too. And then I implement it and I figure out the best way to do it. And sometimes no one's doing anything like it. I'm like, and I have to create it myself. From scratch.
Well, and I'm going to come back to the 3 points that you made in this process of creating content in just a second. But to go back to something we were talking about earlier, you talk about TikTok just as one example. And of course, we could go to YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. And I mean, there's just endless resources out there, right? How do you go about looking at that content, consuming the content? Number one, I guess, ultimately not getting overwhelmed, but two, filter for what is relevant to you and go apply that. And then kind of forget the rest. What does that internal process look like?
It's just what's gonna make me money now, or what's the most important thing that I need to do? Like, I know I need to make these posts for my Facebook group, and I know I need to do it, so I'm gonna do that. Versus like, I have TikToks, you know, I do posing over there, but it's not. It's a slow build. It's like an organic slow. As I do videos, people say, oh, I love your videos, but I don't see a lot of booking from it. So I put that on the back burner as I, you know, when I have to do content that actually does bring me in bookings, like my Facebook group.
But just to be clear, though, what I was actually getting to is like the, you talk about learning from platforms like TikTok, like and hearing these ideas and then deciding what to actually implement. Again, you could easily spend literally all day just going through business content on TikTok, right? Which means hundreds, thousands of pieces of content. How do you effectively filter through all of that and choose what you're going to actually go apply to your business at that point? Because I know, again, photographers might get to this place where just overwhelmed. They're like, literally the world is our oyster. I mean, we're in a lucky place in 2023 to have access to all this information and the resources. How do you make the choices about what you actually go implement? Is it really just, does it come back to how is this going to effectively help me make more money?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, do I need to work on my website and do more blogs? Or do I need to work on my Instagram and create more content for that? There's so many things. I have a whole list of this that I always need to be doing. And I'm like a bumblebee. When I shoot too, I'm like, okay, now this, okay, we're going to do this. And I kind of do that, but I try to hone down and like do it in an order that's not total chaos, but I'm kind of chaotic.
Well, no, but it sounds, I mean, you obviously systems have become a strength of yours. You figured out what works efficiently. So I think it's kind of a scenario of both and again, right? I mean, there may be a little chaos in the process of figuring out the workflow, but ultimately, you know what you're trying to achieve, which just a little side note for everybody listening in, is a multiple six-figure business. So that's pretty cool that you've been able to figure out what works, piece these different elements of a workflow together, and build what you've been describing. I think it's really cool. Again, I want to come back to the three points that you made about how to go about creating content, because I have at least a question or two there. But Kevin from YouTube, he says, how do you focus in different areas where you want to be in the US, or do you? And maybe just to kind of distill that question down, and Kevin, feel free to give more context here. But Olivia, I'm assuming you're focused on your local market. Is that right?
Yes. So like, you know, like Instagram, I'm sure there's lots of people from everywhere that find me, you know, but you hashtag, you know, boudoir photographer, Minneapolis photographer. And in Facebook groups, it's very local because I get people mostly from local groups. You know, they are Minneapolis Moms Group or Rogers Moms Group or Elk River Moms Group. So the women that are coming to me from these groups are all local, and I'm not looking out in other cities for these women. So like my Facebook group I know is very local, and I know most of these 1,500 women can come to me.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure you may get a straggler here and there that's not necessarily from the locale, but in most cases there's this kind of snowball that's building as a result of what you've already created, local members.
Or I'll go to friends of friends and prospect, and you know, you kind of use my Facebook as kind of, it's more business because I'm not posting much stuff personally or about my kids. I have friends that are just local, and I'll invite them to my group. And like, if they're friends of my client, I'll friend them, and then I'll invite them to my group, and I get more people coming to the group from that too.
Great. Well, Kevin, if you have additional questions or follow-up questions of that, feel free to share those in the comments. But here, as we are finishing up, Olivia, going back to the three points about how you go about creating enough content for the group. So one, we're back to, and it's a consistent theme and it's a great theme, value-added content, making sure that you are adding content to the group that brings value, answers questions or otherwise. Number two was to ask compelling questions. And you said you were using ChatGPT to enable you to come up with some of these questions, especially the this or that questions. Would you say that's kind of the most popular style of question that you're asking in the group, the this or that questions?
Yeah, those are, you know, people like to interact with those, and people like to give their opinions.
They do. So, oh my goodness, it's so true. Yeah, in fact, the most random posts that I put on Facebook, I can get, you know, a few likes here and there from a post that's a picture of me and my kids or, you know, whatever it might be. But I ask somebody I ask on Facebook for an opinion. Oh my goodness. It could be like a random time of day. I don't have to time the post. The engagement on something like that is insane.
It's crazy. Yeah. And you don't want to flood your group with those things, because then Facebook will be like, oh, people only want to see these posts. And so when you post other things that are like, hey, I'm doing this thing, or you have a shoot or a behind the scenes picture, that gets very low because all these content posts that are like, do you like this or this? Get so much content, you're only posting that. So I think a good mix, and also trying to keep it within the realm of the photography, you know, like if you're a family photographer, would you rather go on a family vacation to Disneyland or, you know, the beach? Or, you know, there's just so many things are like, do you like this outfit or this outfit for your kid? But boudoir, you know, it's like, I try to keep it centered around self-care. You know, would you rather go to foot massage or back massage? You know, still keep them thinking of what of things I could do for me, because a boudoir shoot is 100% what can I do for me?
That, well, it's a good tip and a good reminder for all of us is to at least one of the types of content that we can utilize for engagement. Because at the end of the day, too, that's the other thing we should highlight is that it's not just about posting content and getting a couple likes. It's about real engagement. That's what will certainly encourage the popularity of the group. But when we want, when we're creating a space for people to engage with our potential or engage with us, with our brand as a potential client, we want actual engagement. So the question is, how do we encourage engagement? And just keeping in mind that asking questions such as a this or that question and using something like ChatGPT to come up with ideas for those, I think that's really great. One last thing, and the third point that you made about how to go about creating content consistently and compelling content at that, you talked about using Canva autofill. And I'd love for you to just give a little bit more context to this, especially for somebody who uses Canva, who may not have been aware of this particular tool. How do they access it? And can you talk a little bit more about how you use it?
Ooh, it's in the menu. I found it. So if you even look up Canva autofill, you have all these posts, you know, that you've created in your Excel spreadsheet and they're saved. And then you have, say, this one design that's pink and gold and whatever, and you have a little text in it. Then you'll select that text and right-click it, and it's like some kind of, I don't know the exact words of it, but it's like some kind of like autofill or fill from CSV type thing. And then you select the thing, and it'll ask you, like, is this the thing in that Excel spreadsheet that you want to replace? And you're like, yes. So you have 100 lines. It now takes each of those lines and puts that on a new page on that specific design. So you have 100 posts.
Wow.
With that one design created. I like to do 4 or 5 of those different designs with the same questions.
Okay.
And delete some of them from each one. So I have the same number, you know, I still have 100, but there's 4 or 5 different designs.
That's amazing. And can you do that only with static content like images, or can you use video for that as well?
I'm not sure. So I've only used it for static, you know, text. You know, okay. It puts the text on the post image, and then you export them as PNGs, and it saves all 100 of your posts, and then you can put that in your Facebook group. I've not tried it with video or like images, because I know there's in Facebook groups, you're like, oh, do you want the beach or do you want the mountains? And there's 2 pictures, you know, this or that. And I do that with like lingerie. Like I'll put pictures, this lingerie and that lingerie, this lingerie and that lingerie. It just takes a little bit of time. It isn't like instant over. I just have to take the time to get them and say this or that. And I then post that to my group.
Okay. And is that a feature that you have to pay extra for in Canva, or is that part of like the pro membership, or do you know?
I have pro because it's amazing and I love a Canva.
It is. Yeah.
And I don't know if it isn't part of the pro, if it's only a pro option. So you'd have to look into that if it is included in the free. So I'm not sure though.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I just appreciate kind of the perspective, and for those who may not be aware of the functionality or the feature, that's pretty eye-opening, actually, to be able to leverage a tool like that. Ultimately, AI, this thing that we're supposedly all scared of, ultimately, we're utilizing the technology to be able to help make our workflow and our lives as business owners more efficient. And I think we should take advantage of those. So that's really interesting. I'm personally going to go play around with it, too. I think I want to learn more about it. So I appreciate you sharing this. And I know that, again, we touched on multiple topics today that we could have easily made individual podcast episodes of. Maybe at some point we can come back and do an episode 2 or 3. But as we finish up here, is there anything that you want our listeners to be aware of? You mentioned the free download earlier. And that's, again, at Belle Boudoir. Let me make sure I get it right.
BelleMarieBoudoir.com/free. And they would... So they'll get that template and they'll also get a video of how to edit. I included a PSD file that they can use on their website with like the pictures of the, you know, they can download the PNGs of their template, and then they can put those pictures on this, you know, little graphic, and then they can put that on their website to entice people to sign up. So perfect. I did a video of how to do that. I've included that PSD file so they can edit themselves.
Wow. Awesome. Well, and for those of you who are live streaming, you can see this on screen. There's quite a bit of, we talk about value add. This is actually quite compelling, very valuable. So make sure that you go to bellemarieboudoir.com/free and you could take advantage of that offer. Olivia, I really appreciate it. This has been, at the end of the day, we do this podcast certainly to help photographers build sustainable businesses. And that theme has run throughout our conversation. You're looking for ways to leverage technology to make your workflow more efficient. And in that way, this has been a super practical episode. I truly appreciate you making time for all of us. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that we did this. Next time we'll talk more about other stuff.
Fair enough. Absolutely. Everybody, thanks so much for listening and for joining us today. Make sure to go to photographersedit.com for your post-production needs this season. Olivia, thanks once again. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you.